are now listening to Next on Scene. Next on Scene is tomorrow's scene today, from up-and-coming products, designers, talent, musicians, celebrities, you name it, we want to showcase it. Are you next? Get Next on Scene with Jay-Z today. Welcome back to Next on Scene, guys. It has been a little while, and I apologize for that. We have had a lot of exciting stuff going on as our spring issue is live. We have an amazing podcast today, another awesome one tomorrow, and a few next week as well. So definitely stay up to date with us. We're also going to start doing some regular segments for things that are going on that you should know about if you want to be a part of. And if you are listening today, come give us a follow at Next on Scene on social media, Next on Scene Media, Jay-Z Social Enterprises. We want to hear from you. So today I am really excited to have an awesome, inspiring guest online, Dr. William Smitty Smith, who is the founding executive producer for the National Center for Race Amity. This Thursday, April 12th at 9 p.m., An American Story, Race, Amity, and Other Tradition will be live, and it is all about a documentary that tackles racism through the lens of friendship and collaboration, the lesser-known story of our nation. So stay tuned, and we're going to be on with Dr. Smitty Smith shortly. All right, guys, I officially have Dr. Smith on the line, or as he likes to call himself, Smitty. We're so excited to have him. Hi, Dr. Smith, how are you today?
I'm well, and yourself?
Good. I'm so excited to have you and really inspire our listeners on your new film that's going to be out this Thursday. So congratulations, by the way, on that. We're so excited to get all into this documentary. So tell us a little bit about how, you know, the film came about and about your work in general.
Well, the National Center for Race and Amity was established a little over 8 years ago through a grant from the Kellogg Foundation. We established the center at Wheelock College in Boston. And our work and our focus is to impact the public discourse on race. We're trying to approach bridging the racial divide with a perspective that moves us away from the present dominant relationship of blame, grievance, rejection that is the major profile of attempts to have conversations on race. So we seek to inject the perspective, we hope to inject the perspective of developing cross-racial friendships, which have been the power behind change in our nation.
I think that's truly amazing, because I was talking, you know, prior with you guys, but I just think it's so amazing that you're focusing on all the good things about, you know, race and everything with the background of that, because it's so not focused on. It's just not like all the good things that have come from bringing people together and the new traditions that have been created. So I think it's truly amazing, this new film that you're producing.
Yeah, well, we're this idea is, you know, simply that, one, we're not dismissing or forgetting all the horrors of racism.
Of course.
That we experience. And we know the litany of the awful tradition. At the same time, that by focusing totally on that tradition, it does not shine light on the better in us collectively. And the better in us has been that ability for us to move beyond and to make change in society. And that other tradition is an important propellant, has been throughout our history. That's, again, why we are focusing on looking at these the powerful cross-racial, cross-cultural friendships that have resulted in tremendous societal change in America.
I love it. And then, of course, we'd love to know a little bit about the stories that you tell in this film. Can you elaborate a little more on that?
Well, yeah, we, in this first outing, and our goal is actually to have a series of films because there's just too many stories to tell.
Right.
And even in a series of 5 hours, which we hope to develop, we still won't hit, we'll only hit a fraction of the stories. But the major, so we had to pick and choose what we would present in this first 1 hour program. So we tried to reach into some period town, Northampton, Virginia, which was for one generation a fully integrated community. And it's amazing the relationships and developments that went on in Northampton, the access and equity for people of African descent, for Europeans, and very few Native people were settled in that community, but particularly between people of African descent and people of European descent. We had about 30% of the community were Black people, and the laws and recordings of the transactions and developments in Northampton show a steady period of fairness and equity among the African descendants in that community. There are several remarkable stories that we tell about things that went on in Northampton. One of them is that the council, the town council, adjudicated the placement of a bastard child, that is a European man had fathered a child out of wedlock, which in that period was more dreadful than using crack cocaine. I mean, he was ostracized and et cetera, et cetera. Long story short, that the community had to find a placement for the child for upbringing till they reached adulthood. And the council decided the most befitting household would be the Johnson family, who actually were landowners of reputation, who participated in the defense of Northampton, all of these things which gave you, you know, standing, good standing as a citizen, and placed the child with that family to be raised to adulthood, and actually gave subsidy to the family to assist with the raising of that kid. But that was just one of many transactions and developments that we found in doing the research on Northampton and actually looking at the court records and the recordings of events at that time.
Yeah, that's so really...
In that period. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that's really inspiring. I mean, my follow-up question would be, like, how do you even go about deciding what stories to pick when there's so many options, you know, and so many inspiring stories to share?
Then we grab a story from the revolutionary era and just prior to the revolution, in the formation actually of the United States of America, and we take a look at the tremendous friendship between the between Charles Thompson. Charles Thompson was the first secretary of the Continental Congress, which was actually the most powerful position in the new government of the United States, because it was a power, administrative adjudication power. And Charles Thompson controlled the ebb and flow of just about everything.
Right.
But Charles Thompson engaged in, developed this incredible, wonderful friendship with the chief of the Delaware Nation, T.D. Uskin. And long story short, this friendship, principally because of Charles Thompson's being one of the few men of high moral character in that era and dealing with Native peoples exposed a number of falsified treaties that government agents had presented on behalf of the native people, which basically swindled them out of land and property, et cetera.
Wow.
And T.D. Uskin actually asked Charles Thompson to be the recorder of any treaty negotiations that he would be engaged in, which Charles Thompson did. But he had high admiration for Charles because of that moral character. And subsequently, the deciding the importance of that friendship was the fact that T.D. Uskin persuaded the other native nations, the Iroquois and others, not to join the French in the long-term French and Indian War battles,
mm-hmm.
which meant that the British, who outnumbered the French, and the French really recruited and relied on Native people to bolster their numbers, and actually in the early goings of the French and Indian War, defeated the British troops because they had the Native American backing. But T.D. Uskin, after developing his friendship, persuaded the nations to be neutral, which means the French won, the British. Charles Thompson was actually adopted into the Delaware Nation.
It's so cool. So it just seems like you've taken people from a lot of different backgrounds and shared a lot of different types of stories, which is amazing. I love that whole backstory. So how long did it take you to actually produce this film?
Oh, we've worked on this thing. Well, we've been working on this for 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, because a part of it was raising the funds to do it.
Right.
To get traction, we actually did what so many people do. 5 years ago, we started a little Indiegogo fund, which Kevin started. And then later, as we shared the concept and the idea with major corporations and religious nonprofit communities, we started to get some tremendous support from people like TIAA, from the Baha'i National Assembly in the U.S., which is a religious community.
It's so great. So all of these, you know, partnerships and relationships you built over time invested in this amazing production, and now it's all come together 5 years later. Bravo. That's so exciting. So what would you say is the overall goal of the film? What do you hope that the viewers get from it and all of that?
Well, the idea is actually, this is a very gradual process. We're trying to just introduce really the language of amity into the discourse arena. So a part of this film's purpose is to start a ground level work of introducing the idea of race amity and the other tradition to people, and to look at examining how do we get out of the blame, grievance, rejection cycle or dialogue, which eventually becomes very toxic and
unproductive. So what we didn't get into is that this is going to be a live broadcast. That is so exciting. So can you give us a little bit more information on that? And I'm assuming after the show, they will let people know, or if they missed it, how they can watch it from there, if they haven't seen it yet.
I think this will be the first public broadcast film. I think at the end of the film, there's a tag for how people can get order the DVD of the film.
Awesome.
And that tag is raceamitydvd.com.
Perfect.
Again, it's raceamitydvd.com. DVD.com.
Perfect. I will make sure to put all of that in the blog, too.
After it's broadcast on Thursday, that's a source. And they can also get other things on that at that site pertaining to, there's a primer on the other tradition, a small book that's been written to accompany the film. And then there's other stuff that's on that at that site.
Perfect.
There's a board. Well, I guess the most important piece is there's a board game that the center developed. It took us 3.5 years of focused testing with young people and adults and different age groups to develop this, what we call a non-toxic board game. It's called Breaking It Down Towards E Pluribus Unum.
Cool.
It's interesting. It's a fun game. It's played like with the die and little people, sort of like a Monopoly kind of thing. But it's, we're very happy with that.
Yeah, I think it's really different. It's very cool. So that's available, you said, on the Race Amity DVD website?
Yeah, when they go to DVD, raceamitydvd.com.
Perfect. And obviously, I know we'll talk about your social media channels at the end of how people can stay up to date with all of that. So I kind of want to talk about you personally, Dr. Smith, so people can get to know you on a personal level outside of business. So we're going to have a little game time. Are you ready for game time?
Game time.
Yeah, we're going to do a little game time. So you can, there's no pressures on how long it takes you to answer them. You can answer them however you want. This is just a fun way for our audience to get to know you outside of what you do, what you love. So tell us a little bit about something you have to do in your everyday routine.
Early morning prayer and meditation.
Oh, I love that. So every morning you wake up and that's something you have to do every day?
Yeah, when I get up, actually, there's a little prayer that I say. And it's and I am a spiritual person.
Me too. I'm right there with you.
Not a zealot. A zealot, right? I mean, and then I reflect on all the stuff I got to do.
Like to prep for your day, of course. Got to be centered before you go out.
Yeah, like the day I'm sitting here with my accountant's office, and then the bad news.
It's all good. It's all good. Okay, so that was really inspiring. So I'm all about the meditation too. I do that every morning and praying and journaling. So I can totally relate to that. Love it. So question two, if you were stranded on a desert island, what would be one item you have to bring with you and why?
I don't want to, but it is the one I'd have to have my prayer book with me.
Oh, I love that.
That's the only thing I could bring.
Right, exactly. At least it will keep you sane, right? When everything else is not going smoothly. I love it.
Helping me endure. Send some help.
I love it. That's awesome. Okay, so if you could spend a day with anyone in history, who would it be and why?
Oh, man. Wow. If I could spend a day with anyone in history, wow!
I know a lot of options. But if the first person that comes to your head, who would it be?
If it's just one person, damn, it would probably be Frederick Douglass.
Awesome! And what's the reasoning for that?
Either Frederick Douglass or Nelson Mandela.
Good choices. And what are the reasons for both of them?
Well, I just so admire, actually, the genius of Frederick Douglass, who was self-emancipated and self-educated and a keen, keen, keen intellect and cap- capacity to articulate complex issues in simple terms. And as a person who really embraced the other tradition, because some of his greatest and closest friends were people of Euro descent, such as the liberator of Ireland, Daniel O'Connell, who was just a, who Frederick actually met when he was 28 years old, when he went to Ireland, specifically because he wanted to meet Big Dan. And Daniel O'Connell was 70 years old at the time.
Wow.
When he was enslaved, Frederick Douglass would hear his masters cursing this Irishman, who he didn't know, he had no idea, but they cursed this O'Connell. And Frederick Douglass, he wrote, he says, "I knew if my masters hated him so, I would love him." So when he got the chance and was invited and to leave the country, he went to Ireland. But I would love to have been with him on a day in that trip just to benefit from all the wonderful things that he articulated, and his being one of the first men of substance and power to ratify and endorse the women's movement at Seneca Falls when he came back from Ireland. Frederick would be my, one of my choices.
I love it.
And Nelson Mandela would be my second.
Right, and he has his own stories that you could go on about too, right? Between the two of them, there's just so much that they've done that's been so amazing.
Yeah.
Love it. So that was great. And then, of course, tell us, like, what is a guilty pleasure of yours? Like, what do you love watching on TV?
A guilty pleasure. Well, I'm a Wire addict. I've watched the Wire series a couple of times during the past 10 or so years, and I'm watching it for a third time.
That's awesome. I don't even think I've ever heard of that. So what is it on?
Oh, it's the best program ever produced for television.
Is it a Netflix series or...?
No, it's HBO.
Oh, cool.
It's HBO or Showtime. It's HBO. It's the best program ever.
Well, if you're watching it for the third time, I'm totally going to trust your judgment and totally check it out. Yeah. So it's called Wire?
Six seasons. There are about six seasons of The Wire.
The Wire.
Yeah.
I'm going to look into that just because of you today.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, they've had The Wire. I used to go over and a man I deeply respect and admire, who's a friend, Charles Ogletree, who's retired now from Harvard in law. You know, he's he's the guy who's professor to Michelle and Barack Obama, and he of course defended Anita Hill in the infamous crazy Senate hearings, which were just shameful. But anyway, Charles Ogletree frequently used to have actors from The Wire come to Harvard to his institute to discuss, aspects of the show in terms of the social implications of The Wire.
I love it.
In Baltimore.
Seriously, I'm going to go check it out after our show. So thank you for that inspiration. So one question I didn't even ask in the beginning is, like, how did you fall into the world of, like, filmmaking and, into the world of the, National Center for Race Amity? Like, how did that even come about?
Well, filmmaking is something that I was interested in back when I was in college. And, started out with photography. I was heavy into photography and didn't like the idea of making films, but I had a more immediate pressing issue of trying to deal with trying to figure a way that immediately I could have impact on making change in society, and so I focused on education.
I love it.
So I started out initially as an educator, so I knew the power of film, but the opportunity to get into the door and create a space quickly to use the power of film was not readily available in my generation when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
But education, I could, because I'd seen and saw daily the power of education and how a person of color could immediately have impact. So I chose that route. My affinity for work on issues of race stem from my religious belief. I'm a member of the Baha'i faith, and Baha'i's central theology evolves around the unity and oneness of the human family. So it's a part of what I believe, and you have to do what you believe. So that's why I try and engage as much as I can in opportunities.
No, it's really inspiring. It's like you really set your goals up, and then you literally manifested it. Like, it all seems like it all fell into place.
Well, it's still falling into
place, hopefully. It's all good, but I'm just talking about the beginning pieces, which is so awesome, you know? Yeah. Like, I think the film is so exciting, and everybody definitely needs to check it out. This Thursday at 9 p.m., An American Story, Race, Amity, and Other Tradition. And I love the whole concept of the other tradition, because I feel like a lot of people, like we said in the beginning, don't know a lot about that. And it's so important to hone in on it. So I think it's amazing what you're doing.
And it lifts us up, and it tells us of remarkable people that we don't know about, but that we can emulate.
Exactly. That's so important. So, Smitty, it was so fun to have you today. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, Jackie, I'm so grateful for this opportunity, and I appreciate it, and I hope you enjoy the film. And I hope at some point we'll see each other in person at some event or activity. And we have a National Race Amity Conference every year.
Awesome.
In November. Maybe you can come and do your podcast or broadcast from there.
I would love it.
In November. Yeah. I'll ask Rekha about being in touch with you about that.
That's awesome. I'd be so happy to. I love the whole concept, and I think it's going to be an amazing film. I loved the trailer. So if people haven't seen the trailer yet, how can they access that?
At raceamityfilm.org.
Perfect. And then also people can follow you too on Facebook at NCRA Amity, right?
Right, but the raceamity.org is the migration to all of our internet data will be through that portal.
Fabulous.
But I don't want to complicate the listeners.
No, it's so all good. It is all good.
Raceamityfilm. So there are three places. RaceAmityFilm.org is where you go to learn about the film that's being broadcast and to see the trailer and stuff. There's a 5-minute trailer there. And other information, details about the film at RaceAmityFilm.org. And then for people who are interested in getting copies of the film and accessories that support or things that support the Race Amity movement, they go to raceamitydvd.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much. It has been so much fun having you.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Jackie. And
I will definitely be in touch. Yes, for sure. I will, and everybody definitely be sure to check out the film this Thursday. So excited for you guys. It's going to be awesome and really inspiring. So thank you so much for coming on again, Smitty, for sharing your story. And stay tuned for who's next on scene. Thanks so much for tuning in to Next on Scene. Are you next? We want to hear from you. Get in touch with us at getseen@gzsocialenterprises.com. Get social with us at GZ Social Enterprises on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And are you next? Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Stay tuned for Who's Next on Scene.